Get ready to be inspired and empowered through God's Word as you now listen to the teaching of Reverend Sam Chiaka.
Distraction is the biggest problem of a Christian. Amen. All right. I want to give you principle of life for victory. Listen. I want you to pay attention. The seed for revelation is attention. The seed for knowledge is attention. If you don't sow the seed of attention, you're not going to get anything. What I'm going to teach you today, you will need it. You will need it. You will need it for the long haul. I want to make it as simple as possible. I want to show you how faith works. Focus. Jesus told us, nothing shall be impossible to him that believeth. He said, for with God all things are possible. Jesus was very clear when he told us that the solution to every problem of man is faith. Faith. The earlier you know how this thing works, the better for you. Your life depends on it. Your future depends on it. So for this short moment, please don't let the devil rob you of that which is yours. If you want to win in life, if you want to change your life, if you want to make progress in life, I'm about to hand you the keys as the Lord has given it to us. Say, I will catch it in the name of Jesus. Faith is not hard. Faith is not hard. And as a matter of fact, it is because it is so simple, that is why we miss it. It's because faith is so simple, that is why we keep forgetting. It is so simple, you forget. It is so simple, you don't get it. Not because it's hard, because it's very simple. And that's why lots of people miss it. Romans chapter 10. I will read from verse 8. And this is what it says. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith that we preach. The message of faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. And it gives the reason in the next verse. Because it is with the heart that man believes unto righteousness, and it is with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. The word salvation there is deliverance, is safety, is prosperity. Salvation. That means we see two elements. Please, I'm trying to break this down and I want you to get it. We see two elements here of how faith works. It says, if you will say with your mouth that which you believe in your heart, you will be saved. You will be delivered. You will be transformed. The change occurs when you say with your mouth that which you believe in your heart. That means faith works by confession. Faith has a voice. Faith speaks. But let me quickly talk about confession. Confession is the Greek homologia or homologia. Homo means same. Logia is gotten from when you have logos, speaking word. Homologia, saying the same thing. It means speaking in agreement. That means confession is speaking in agreement. Speaking in agreement is two-faced here. Speaking in agreement to what God has already said. That is saying the same thing, homo, agreeing with God. So confession means to speak in agreement. You're speaking in agreement to what God already said. That is one. You are speaking in agreement to that which you believe in your heart. That is two. So confession is to speak in agreement to what God has already said that you now believe in. Confession is not positive affirmation. Confession is not name it and claim it. That's what spoiled all this whole thing. Confession is not positive thinking. Confession doesn't mean to say what you like. Confession, I've told you, is homologia, is speaking in agreement. Speaking in agreement to what God has said that you have believed. So, it is the mouth speaking what the heart agrees with that God has already said. Therefore, confession is speaking forth that which you have seen and believed to be true. Confession is not trying to make it happen. Confession is, you know it is so. You believe it is so. You have a revelation of it. And so you are saying, speaking according to the revelation that you have. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe. Can you say that? I believe. 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. I believe. And therefore, I speak. We also believe, and therefore, speak. So, what makes it confession is that your heart believes on something God has said before your mouth speaks it. Saying it and claiming it in order to make it happen is not yet faith. It is not confession. Because it is not homologia. It is not yet speaking in agreement. It is not yet speaking in consent. You don't yet believe it. I know you know what I just said. Where the issue is the practical reality in your life. Do you know what a lot of us are doing? We are praying. We are asking God to do things in our life that we don't believe. We're telling God, do it for me. You know what you want. You wish you had it. You are asking God to do it, but you don't believe it. What's the result? It's not working. And then you confess. You say. You shout. You claim it. You do this, you do that. But it is not working. You are wondering, where is the gap? Where am I missing it? Is this thing really true? Does it really work? Jesus was clear about it. Faith works 100%. If what you had did not work, it was not faith. Oh, but I tried. Oh, if there's any time I prayed, that was it. Oh, I cried to God. Oh, I felt it. If it didn't work, it was not faith. Faith does not fail. Did you hear what I said? So here's the problem. Again, I repeat, the challenge is that we are asking God to do what we do not believe. What we don't, look what he said. Go to Numbers 14. Numbers 14 and verse 28. I will paraphrase this thing here. Numbers 14 and verse 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so I will do. In other words, you are limited by your own confession. Remember, it is not yet confession until you believe it. Now, somebody is saying something. Somebody said, well, I don't have any confession. Maybe my problem is that I'm not being... No, you have confession. It's not possible not to have confession. When I say confession, I'm not just talking about what you are saying when you are praying. And that's where our eyes is most of the time. In your casual conversation, in the way you talk about yourself, in your normal day-to-day life, what you are saying is confession. You are making confession. What you are saying is what you really believe. If what you are saying in your normal conversation is different from what you are saying in the place of prayer, that is why your prayer does not work. Because God is limited to what you believe. Did you hear what I said? God is limited. He cannot go beyond the realities of your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Where God is going to bless you from is the seed in your heart. That is where he's going to take from. If you understand how God operates, look at Adam. God made Adam. Adam became a seed. God cannot, Adam and Eve, God cannot make any human on earth by his principle, except by that which Adam produces, and his children, and his children's children. It's the same with your life. God gave you a heart. God cannot make anything in your life except that which is the proceeds of your heart. Are you getting what I'm telling you? You think you can go and pray, God, do it for me. Oh, God, do it for me. And out of the blues, God is going to do something. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. To believe something and to pray contrary to that which you believe, if God is to answer that prayer, he will have to break protocol. He will have to violate the laws and principles of life. God cannot bless you beyond that which you believe. Hear me. He can bless you beyond your expectation. He cannot bless you beyond your belief. And don't mix them up. Hallelujah. So I said, you believe something about yourself. Everyone sitting here, everyone listening to me, you believe something about the outcome of your life, the possible outcome of your life by this time next year. There's something you believe. There is something you believe can be your reality. It's possible that can happen. There is some things you believe, forget it, it can never happen. You don't say it consciously, but it is there in your heart. For everyone sitting here, there is something you believe about the condition of this country affecting you. There is something you believe. There is something you believe, you know, how hard things are going to get, or how, see, you have something you believe about yourself as you are sitting. That thing you believe is the limit of your experience. Until you stretch that, until you submit that to the Word of God and let the Word of God change the picture you have of yourself on the inside, nothing changes on the outside. Are you sharing what I'm telling you? Sometimes we play surface Christianity. Sometimes we get to a place where we are wondering, does this thing work? Does the Word of God work? It works. You are just not working it. What you are saying, there's something you are saying every day, normally, when nobody's watching, when you're not in church, when you are just normally living your life, there is something you say about yourself. Those things you say, is you say them because you believe them. That is the thing you really believe. Those are the things you really believe about yourself. And that is your reality. No man can live beyond the condition of his heart. It is as it is inside, so it shall be outside. The condition of your heart creates the condition of your life. That's the law. There is no change in that. Paul said to Timothy, meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly unto them, that your profiting may appear. Your life does not change outside until it first changes inside. Until the picture of your life that you have changes, nothing outside changes. So some people think confession
is positive speaking. It is not positive speaking.
Of course, it's positive speaking in a sense, but it's not in the sense a lot of people think it is.
It is not just saying the right stuff. It is saying the right stuff out of a heart that is already conditioned, that already believes that when the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves. It is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. That is confession. What you are saying from the abundance of your heart, that is confession. That is the only way it is homologia. To say something with your mouth that you really do not believe in your heart is empty talking. It will not work. It does not work. And here is the link. It is the link that's broken for a lot of people. But I've been saying this thing. But I've been speaking right. But I've been confessing God's word. But I prayed. But I said it. See, you don't start by saying. You can see, if you are sick, what is expected for you to do, what is normal for you to do, is that you are going to start saying something out of desperation. Out of desperation, you are going to be crying to God for your healing. Is that correct? If you are in a tight corner, out of desperation, you are going to be praying for your deliverance. You are going to be wanting a breakthrough. That is normal. But confession is not speaking out of desperation. No. Confession must come out of revelation. Else it will not work. So, I said confession comes out of meditation. It comes out of, you know, believing. It must not come out of desperation. When you are in challenge, when you are in a difficult place, when you are in trouble, or when you desire a change in your life, what do you do first? The thing a lot of us do is that we quickly start trumpeting what we want. We quickly start saying something that we desire. You know, and then we miss the point. You are talking. And guess what? Because you don't have the reality of that thing, you don't have the revelation of that thing, your confession will be you trying to make it happen. You think that if you say it several times, if you say it multiple times, then God will say, he has tried now. I mean, I said like 1,000. No, that's not the first thing you do. The first thing you do is that you have to work on your believing. Hallelujah. He says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You cannot break the law. So, what do you do? Work on your believing first. How does that happen? You have to meditate. Hallelujah. I already told you what Paul said. Meditate on these things. Give yourself completely to them. Meditate. Meditate. I'm going to tell you how that is done. So in a moment, meditate. By meditating, you are sowing the seed of the word in your hearts. God said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Joshua 1:8. Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. He says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. You see, you have to first meditate. This thing must enter you first. This thing you are praying for, you must first sow it as a seed into your heart. Your heart is the ground, is the soil of the word of God. What does not germinate there cannot appear in your life. Listen. When we say things like this, some people take it personal. Listen. You are the architect of your life. If you don't first accept that, you are not ready for progress. You're not ready. The first thing for change is responsibility. You must first own it. You must first stop thinking that the witches in your village are the ones holding you down. I did not say there are no witches in your village, But it doesn't matter if they are 1,000 or 10,000. Your problem is not the witches. Your problem is the conditioning of your hearts. I did not say there are no cultists. I didn't say people didn't tie your name somewhere. But listen, it doesn't matter. The only reason they can hold you is because you are holding yourself. You must first accept responsibility. Only when you do that, now you are ready for the miracle. You are ready for change. That's what we're teaching here. So the first miracle begins when you catch revelation. That's when your miracle starts. Your first miracle begins when in the meditation of the word of God and in the place of prayer, you have seen the reality of a certain thing you desire. Until you catch it, that poverty cannot hold you, sir, it will hold you. You haven't seen it yet. Until you can see that your healing is yours, until you can see that Jesus purchased healing for you, until you can see that, you are going to be struggling. Until you see your deliverance, until you see change, first inside, you cannot have it outside. So the first thing you do is that you meditate. You meditate. You let the word of God enter your heart. That's why I tell you, when the word is given, when the word is being taught, do yourself a favor. Avoid distraction. Distraction is what the devil uses to neutralize the effect of God's word in your life. How many of you know that if I had a cup of coffee in a cup and I take it, I feel the impact, right? But if I take that same measurement of coffee and I put and add like 5 liters of water to it, same size, you know, volume of coffee. I mean, by the time I add so much water, you know, I've diluted it. If I drink it, will you have the same effect? That's what the devil does. That's what the devil is doing in your times of devotion. To get you away from revelation. Because once a man gets revelation, the devil's hands and hold over him is broken. He's gone. The devil does everything to ensure that the word is not implanted in your heart. The devil will do anything to keep you away from catching the revelation of what Christ has done for you. Because once you get it, it's done. What are you supposed to do then? Let's say, for instance, you are trusting God. See, remember what I said? See, that thing you are saying about yourself on your normal day-to-day life, that is truly what you believe. That is your confession. It's not the one you say in church. It's not the one you say during prayer. That one you say normal, when you are gisting, right? That one you say, the things you say about yourself and your life, when you are gisting, when you are not, you know, you're not trying to be spiritual, that is truly what you believe, and that is the reality of your life. If you are full of negativity, if all you have been saying, so you can really check what you truly believe. If all you've been saying is how, we're going to suffer in this country. Things are going to get terrible. If that's what you are saying normally, that is what you truly believe. Forget the one you say when we come to church and say, let's begin to sing. Do you know a man of God can come here? Just as I'm standing here, I can prophesy breakthrough in your life, but you can say amen, but you don't believe it. You tell your friends, see, let's tell ourselves the truth. See, what is the truth to you? You tell your friends, let's face reality. We know pastor prayed, but let's face reality. What is reality to you? You see, that is your confession. That's really what you believe. And that is the reality. That is what will come to pass. Glory to God. Mark 11. Go to Mark 11. Jesus said it again. Mark 11. Are you there? Let's look at verse 23. Mark 11, 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain,
Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So Jesus is saying, whosoever can have whatsoever at any time. Whosoever can have whatsoever. Anything is possible for anybody. Whosoever can have whatsoever. But you've got to believe. You cannot believe by yourself. Let me tell you that one now. Hallelujah. So that's one thing. You cannot believe by yourself. Believing is a product of focus. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. He says, why we focus not on the things that are seen. We don't focus on the reality of our life. We are not focusing on the material, all right, how things are as it is, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. So he says, it is what you are focusing on. We are not focusing on that which is seen. See, you can choose to focus on the bad economy of the nation, or you can choose to focus, my God, but my God shall supply. You can choose to focus on your failing health, or you can focus on, by his stripes, you are healed. See, it is what you focus on. It says we choose not to focus. We look not at the things which are seen. We look at the things which are not seen. It is what you are looking at that you believe in. What do you do in a pressing situation? What do you do in the midst of a trial? What do you do to change the story of your life? What do you do when you want to change something in your life? You want to effect healing in your body. It doesn't matter how long that sickness has been there. It doesn't even matter if you are born with it. It doesn't matter the conditions of your birth. It doesn't matter if you have no helper. Who is going to send me to school? But I want to go to school. But I don't have anybody to send me to school. Listen. The word of God is not a respecter of persons. Are you listening to me? Anybody can have whatever. Anybody can have whatever. All you have to do, find scriptures that promise you that thing. That's your first assignment. Find in the word of God scriptures that promise you you can have that thing you desire. You can't be lazy about your life, brothers and sisters. Find scriptures. If you need help, contact me. I will supply you. Anybody can reach me in this church. Find scriptures that assure you of those things. You are ready for a change? You are ready to turn things around in your life? Well, that's the first thing you do. You keep yourself in the... When you have those scriptures, write them out very clearly. Let that be your meditation. That is, what is meditation? It's not difficult. You will read it and think. Read it and think. Read it. Think about it. Think about the implication of... Don't rush. You have gathered your mindset over a while. It took a while to believe what you believe. It's difficult to just throw it away. You got to sit down with the word of God. Read it. Read it. Read it. Look, let me tell you something. Do you know, as you are sitting here, there is amount... Let me use money, for instance. There is amount of money you don't believe you ever have. Has ever crossed your mind? Even if it crosses your mind, you will laugh at yourself. You don't believe it. Guess what? You can't get contract that will get to that amount. If the contract or business deal of that amount come, your mind will shut down. You will not be able to process it. It can't come to you. It's not God's fault. There is a limitation. There is a limit you have set in your mind. You can't cross it. All your plans are around how you're going to say, all your plans are in a small thinking. You cannot exceed that. You have to sit with the word of God until you can see abundance here. Get those scriptures.
put them everywhere. Write them and paste them in your room. Write them, save them in your phone. Every morning, read them slowly, and think about it until they sink. Use them in your prayer. Meditate on them. So this is what you do. Let's say, for instance, Psalm 23. You take Psalm 23. This is how you meditate. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Think about it. What does a shepherd do? When a sheep loses their way, it is the responsibility of the shepherd to bring him back. The Lord is my shepherd. It means I can't lose my way. He'll bring me back. He'll bring me back on the path. You are still on the Lord is my shepherd. You are thinking, you are pondering, you are meditating. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It is the shepherd that is responsible for the feeding of the sheep. I may work, I may do business, I may do everything. But the Lord is my shepherd. He provides the jobs. He provides the businesses. He makes available the contract. He makes available the job. See, if you don't see yourself as one who is under that shepherd, you will keep struggling in your power trying to make ends meet. See, it doesn't come in a day. You have to see until he enters you, until you understand you are God's responsibility. He will give me the ideas I need that will provide for my family. He will bring me the people that will come into my life to play their role, to help me to fulfill my destiny. He's responsible for the orchestration of everything. He will help me to be at the right place at the right time. He guides my step. Shepherd, you are still meditating on shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That is why he can make that confession, I shall not want. I can't lack. Why everybody is wondering, who is the next president? What are they going to do to us? Hey, is there a Muslim agenda? Is there a this? Is there a that? I'm relaxed. You better stop thinking that any government will come to your rescue. You better stop thinking. Nobody is coming to save you. Learn to rely on the savior of your soul. The Lord is your shepherd. Hallelujah. See, there's so much to say there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He leads me. I am his responsibility. I believe that God will bring into my life people who will play a role to lead me to the next level of my life. I cannot lose. I believe that God will organize circumstances working for my good. I cannot lose. He is my shepherd. I am not my shepherd. He will work things out to my advantage. I cannot be disadvantaged. I did not bring myself to this world. I was not among the plan to be here. I cannot sustain myself. You think your job, you got the job by yourself. That's what some of you think. You think the money you have was your own hard work. You think it's your doing. You think your life so far is because you struggle so much. You don't understand that, see, there is a bigger hand on your destiny that works to make things for you. Can you believe? I believe I'm in the hand of God. I believe everything will work for my good. I believe whatever happens to me is for my favor. It is for my advantage. It is for my betterment. I believe the Lord is my shepherd. You can say the Lord is your shepherd. You don't believe this, you don't really believe it. The sheep doesn't think for itself. The sheep doesn't feed itself. It doesn't worry about tomorrow's food. We didn't say don't work. See, there's a difference in you going to work and knowing that God will put the work there. See, you can have a handwork. You can have a skill. See, you say, it is my skill that will bring me the money. You are missing the point. You are missing the point. There is somebody that brings you job. Then somebody, see, while you are in your house, somebody will speak to somebody about you, and they will bring you job while you are sleeping. The Lord is your shepherd. You have to meditate. See, until you see it, until you believe it. Stop racking your head about the economy. It doesn't matter to me. You haven't stayed on this thing. You haven't meditated on this thing. Listen, God cannot do for you beyond that which is in your hands, which beyond the revelation that you have caught. Out of your heart are the issues of life. Out of your heart are the forces that control your life. A certain general was found in war. He would get up and walk from here to another place in war front. During an interview, they asked him, they said, how is it that you can walk from one point to another when bullets and all kinds of things are flying in the air? And this is what he said. He said, I believe that I am as safe in the war front as I am in my bedroom if I'm in the will of God. He said, I believe I am as safe in the war front as I am in my bedroom if I'm in the will of God. Some of you think you are safer in your bedroom until you hear news how caterpillar entered somebody's bedroom. Just the accident was and killed him there. You think you are safe in your bedroom until somebody's roof fell on him. And you think until, see, let me tell you something. You better trust in God. You better trust in God. You better stop looking to man for your sustenance and look to God for your help. So you keep your eyes on the word of God. Get teachings of faith. Stay there. Stay there. Block your ears. Put teachings of faith. Download teachings of faith. Put it in your ear. Get scriptures on the things you desire. Write it on paper. Paste it in your room. Remind yourself the promises of God. Every morning, as you do this, it sinks. In the place of prayer, you begin to speak scriptures. These scriptures, you repeat them to yourself. You repeat the scriptures. You have them pasted. You understand? You want to deal with things in your life? Do you really want to deal with it? Or you want to keep begging God? You know the problem with begging God? You know there's no scripture that teaches to beg God for anything. You don't beg God. Hello? You don't know? Men of faith don't beg God. Begging God means you are trying to convince him to do what he didn't want to do. Okay, trying to convince God to do what he didn't want to do means you are saying you have a better idea. Okay, so God wasn't that good, but you feel this is a good thing and you want to convince God to do good that he didn't want to do. You get it? He didn't want to do good. You want to convince him to do good. God is better than you. You didn't hear what I said? God is better than you. If it is good, God wants it before you want it. See, prayer is not about begging God. Prayer is enforcing the will of God on the earth. Prayer is not to beg God to do what he doesn't want to do. No. Prayer is to enforce the will of God on the earth. So we're not begging God here. No, you don't beg God. If you keep your eyes on a failing system, you will start sinking like Peter, who took his eyes off Jesus and started looking at the boisterous wind. You will start sinking. If you don't keep yourself consistently in the place of prayer and meditation on the word of God, you will start sinking. You have to remind yourself every day. And what God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. I'm not limited to the things of this world. Hallelujah. I'm not limited. Hallelujah. When you see that you don't sink, so. Let me show you this scripture before I begin the round off. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Ayabako sakipaya. Shamangotokiyapa. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 12 and verse 13. I want you to see something there. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, But the spirit which is of God,
we have received what? The spirit of God, right?
Why did you receive the spirit of God? That we may know the things that are freely given to us. So the spirit of God was given to you to give you revelation. The spirit of God was given to you that your eyes may be opened.
The prophet prayed for his servant. He said, oh God, open his eyes that he might see.
He opened his eyes and he saw that they were surrounded by a greater number of army.
So another way of saying that is, open his eyes that he may believe.
Believing is you have seen an inward reality. You have a revelation. You have seen it. The place of prayer and meditation. When you see, alright, you see the word of God in your case. You see the word of God for your healing. You see the word of God for your prosperity. When you catch the word of God for your life, that's revelation. That's why the Spirit was given to you. That we may know. Paul prayed for the church. He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. See? So look at verse 13. It says, verse 12 says, we receive the Spirit of God that we may know the things which are given and freely given unto us. Which things we speak. Can you see how that works? So first, the Spirit of God gives you revelation. The Spirit of God gives you what? You have insights. Once you have revelation, that is, you now believe it. Once you believe it, then we speak. Which things we speak. He's given us the Spirit of God that we may know the things that are freely given unto us. It is those things that we speak. Now that is confession. That is confession. Hallelujah. That is confession.
Do you know how long you live? See, it also can also be a product of your revelation.
If God gives you revelation on longevity, you will...
Hallelujah.
See, it's not when plane is about to crash. You will now start praying out of panic. Ah, that's panic prayer. But if the revelation is there, it's not when they were about to have accident. But if you have caught revelation of divine safety and the ministry of angels, you rest. It has entered you. You be at rest.
Glory to God.
You must stay on this. This book of the word shall not depart out of your eyes. It shall not depart out of your mouth. You must meditate on it day and night. That revelation may be constant into your heart. For it is what enters your heart that shows up in your life. Else you'll be speaking empty words into the air. Let me show you a prophecy of Ezekiel. Ezekiel gave this prophecy, Ezekiel chapter 13. I'm just going to read this. Ezekiel chapter 13, I read from verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. And say unto them that prophesy out of their own head, out of their own hearts. Hear ye the word of the Lord. These are people speaking from their head. Thus said the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and they have seen nothing. You are only saying something, but you have not caught a revelation of it. You have not seen anything. You didn't see it in the spirit. You have not seen it as yours, but you are talking. You see, that's a foolish prophet. You are going to be ashamed. The Bible says those that believe in him shall never be ashamed. Not those who speak. If you speak and you haven't seen the revelation of his word, you will be ashamed because it will not happen. It will not come to pass. All right? Praise the Lord. This is how faith works. One, meditation. Meditation. In the place of prayer and in the word.
Sometimes for some problems, you need to lock yourself.
Sometimes for some problems, you need to go on retreat.
Sometimes you need to separate yourself.
Leave TV alone. Leave your phone. Leave social media. Carry scriptures.
You stay in a day. You say, I'm not doing anything on social media. I'm just going to be in this room. Praying. I'm with my Bible. Usually what I do is I set prayer times in the day. So this is what I do. I do every 3 hours. Every 3 hours. 6 a.m., 6, 9, 12, 3, 6, 9, 12, 3, both p.m. and a.m. I stay there. See, listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you this. I know some of you, even if you are there eating,
You know, I teach fasting. Even if you are there, you chop afternoon food, chop night food, chop morning food. But you are there meditating on the word, doing nothing else. Huh? I pray 6, I pray 9, I pray 12, I pray 3, I pray 6, I pray 12, locked in my room, and then in between the word, listening to teaching, the word, reading my Bible, get those scriptures focused on the things I'm dealing with. No. Take one part of your life you want to deal with. Eh? Hallelujah. Do you know you can find marriage in the scriptures? Do you know? See, you are not taking time. Do you know you can find prosperity there? Do you know you can find healing there? See, I heard a story about a lady. I have shared this story several times. Who couldn't walk. She had been diagnosed with a condition and it had gotten so bad that she couldn't walk anymore. But every day, you know, when people are dying, they are now very closer to God. So since she couldn't walk, there's nothing else she could do. So every day she's with her Bible. You know, when you know you are nearing death, your Bible will be very close. You lose interest in everything else. You have just lost interest. She's always with her Bible. She had read, you know, reading the Bible. But one day, as she was reading, she got to 2 Peter chapter 2. Is it 1 Peter chapter 2? Let's go there. This is what happened to her. This is a true life story. Ah, Shukula Bila. 1 Peter chapter 2. So she was reading verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Oh, Jesus. He did not sin. No guile in his mouth. I will not be talking anyhow. No guile will be found in my mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will sanctify my mouth. My mouth will not be used, you know, for evil. My mouth will not be used to carry false tales. My mouth will not be used for hatred, hate speech. My mouth will not be used to, you know, perpetuate the agenda of Satan. I know I keep talking like that. Verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He threatened not. But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So I can commit myself. I don't have to do anything to fight for myself. You know, those things. She was meditating on that. Verse 24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, Jesus took my sin. I mean, she was really like that and just meditating. Jesus took my sin. Thank you, Jesus. If he took my sin, it means my sins are no longer with me. He has taken it away. She was meditating on that. She was on the bed, paralyzed. Who is a person that's own body that you've been there to since you live on righteousness? And then she read, by whose stripes you are healed. And for the first time, after she had read it several times, the thing hit her. By whose stripes you are healed. The first time in her life, it dawned on her that it is past tense. By whose stripes ye were healed. He said, what? Means it's been done? By whose stripes ye were healed? She was pondering on that, still on the bed, paralyzed. Pondering on that, by whose stripes ye were healed. Then a thought came to her mind. If I was healed, then I am healed. A thought came after that. Well, if I am healed, this is 10 a.m. What is a healed person doing on the bed by 10 a.m.? Can you see what's going on here? By believing, by meditating, faith is dead. You don't give yourself believing. Your own is meditate. Faith will enter. Faith enter the heart. As he stayed on this scripture. So what are you doing? He said, a thought came to her mind. So if you are healed, say, if you were healed, then you are healed. So if you are healed, what are you doing on the bed by 10 a.m.? Healed people are not on the bed by 10 a.m. Well, she said, well, that's true. If I'm healed, I cannot be lying down here and waiting for people to bring me hot water, bring me this, bring me that. She started giving Jesus thanks. Thank you, Jesus. I am healed. She still cannot move her leg. Thank you, Jesus. I am healed. Thank you, Jesus. Your word says I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus. I am really, really healed. Lord, and if I'm healed, I cannot be on the bed by 10 a.m. Then she grabbed something and pulled herself up. Guess what? As she pulled herself up, she fell down Jakarta because she still couldn't walk. But while she was there, not giving up, saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because how are you going to get back to bed? suddenly she said, I felt, you know, when your nerve,
it does not happen to you before.
When you have stayed in one position for so long, and then you feel your nerve. She just felt that shock in her leg, and bam! She grabbed something and got up. She saw she could stand. She started holding herself. So paralyzed in her room by herself. She started limping, moving her leg in her room by herself.
Fast forward a few hours later, she was already walking inside her room by herself, healed by the power of God, by believing the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A dear sister called me from Zimbabwe. She sent a message via Telegram. She said, I got your number. I'm somewhere from Facebook. And she said, well, I'm not mentioning any name, so it doesn't matter. She said, I have HIV. I want to be healed. I said, you can be healed? HIV is nothing to Jesus. Glory to God. Jesus heals HIV as easy as he heals fever. You know, it's in your mind that cancer is more difficult than malaria. You know, if you had malaria, you would say, no, Allah. I know what to do. I would just say, I don't rest more. And, you know, just. But if it is cancer, you say, yeah. Why? What's the difference? It doesn't make any difference to God. It doesn't make any difference with God. You see, for believers, when you minister to the sick, no matter what name, if they may tell you is multiple sclerosis, and they don't give one large name that you never heard before, just treat it like headache. Did you hear what I said? Don't magnify it in your mind. Don't lengthen the prayer because the name of the sickness is very long. Pray the same way you would have prayed if it was a fever. Did you hear what I said? Well, it's the same principle. God doesn't need extra power. It's in your mind, it's a bigger sickness. This same malaria I treated like anything now killed people. Anyhow, before it was a killer disease before. Glory to God. Anyway, I said, well, I will minister to you. So I said, we did a WhatsApp call over the phone. I said the same thing I would say to anybody, in the name of Jesus. God's healing power goes through, it's going through your body now. As I'm saying it, it is happening now. The power of God is going through your body right now, purifying your blood. I don't care how the disease got there, it is leaving now in the name of Jesus. Go take a cup of water and drink and go for a test. That's what we did. She went for a test and came back and said, it is still HIV positive. I said, wait 2 weeks. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. Go back for the test. She went back for the test and came back. It is still positive. I said, it doesn't matter. You will go back again. In the name, I said, we'll do the same thing. So I said, in the name of Jesus. See, the doctor's report doesn't change the word of God. You hear what I said? That their machine did positive doesn't mean anything. See, it is when you heard, yeah, it's still like that. You know, I said, oh, maybe it did not work. See, you didn't believe. My believing was not predicated on the result the doctor would give. My believing was predicated on the word of God. And so I stood on the word. I go back there and then she went there and said, yeah, he's calling me. Yeah, the amazing thing has happened. It's now gone. They said they couldn't find it. Well, I've done 4 tests already. It is gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I already believed it. A year later, she sent me a message and said, I'm pregnant and I'm about to give birth. Pray that the baby in my womb would not have caught it, because by the time I called you, I was already pregnant. I said, the prayer I prayed for you, were you pregnant then? She said, yes. I said, the prayer was for you and your baby. Go for delivery. There is no HIV there. I didn't need to pray extra. Jesus doesn't do half work. See, it is according to your faith. Believe the word of God. Amen? But you have to first see it. See it. See it. When you catch it, you have won. When you catch it, you have won. Have you ever read your Bible and so as you are reading, something just jump at you? As if, this thing, that thing that is doing you like, wow, I didn't know this was there. Wow. Stay there. Build tabernacle there. One for you. Stay there. God is, see, every time a scripture jumps at you, God is telling you something. That is you catching revelation. Once you catch it, that thing begins to show in your reality. Stay there. If you want to get a specific result, find scriptures that promise you that thing. Meditate on it until it enters you, and it will be yours. Now you can confess it. And guess what will happen? Life will begin to rearrange. If it is about circumstances, circumstances of life will begin to rearrange themselves to agree to that which you have said according to that which you have seen in your heart. I don't care what the issue is. People have had terrible things that they were almost going to die, and they came out of their medical condition and it left no scar. That's how God works. It will leave you and it will leave no scar. It will leave no trace. Believe it. And this is what you do. Amen. Shakabalosa.
This message was brought to you by the Father's Family Mission International. For more information on our ministry schedule, how you can partner with us, or to download more edifying messages free of charge, visit www.thefathersfamily.org.ng. God bless you.